The reading today is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 9 to 23. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering, with joy giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son. Into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above all reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Amen.
Hello everyone, nice to see you in the flesh, in the tabernacle. Well, it's better here than in the Zoom, isn't it? I don't know, they ought to have another name for Zoom when it comes to old people. I don't Zoom anywhere, I don't know about you, but I don't know what you could call it. Anyway, thank you for reading that, Alan. I want to speak about government this morning. I thought I might get some groans there. I'm not talking about red or blue or green or whatever, but I would like to speak about government, because basically, in behind all this very dense scripture that Alan read out in Colossians, and is very, very condensed, is who's in charge, really. And I would like to talk about that for a little while. And going back to thinking about when the fall occurred in Eden, they lived in the light. And in that passage, we talked about the differences between the light and the power of darkness. So that's generally what I want to think about. And of course, Adam and Eve lived in the glorious light of God. But then they, I'm preceding this, of course, the fall came. And instead of coming under the authority and the government of the God who was in the garden, who walked with him and talked there, and they communed with him, they came under another authority, another power. And a great darkness came upon them at that moment, a power that they had not known before in all their lives, however long that might have been, we don't really know. But somehow they were aware of a great difference in the power and the authority from which they were under. And it was a tremendous thing. It was called the power of darkness. Because we know it came from Satan. And he became their ruler. Instead of God, he became the government. And the thing is with this, the great contrast, one of the great contrasts is immediately recognizable when this ruler took the stage, so to speak, that he induced fear. That was probably the first thing they realized, besides being naked, that they were under fear in this government, under rulership. And you know, that's one of the great things when God comes into our lives. He comes with this fear not, doesn't he? Because that was the first thing, almost, they were afraid. And that kind of government God wants to deal with. And if you are under fear, probably because, you know, the Satan is another name for accuser of the brethren. And they felt guilty, rightly so, because of their sin. And of course, that brought immediate fear into their lives. But, you know, God has come to deal with that fear. And, you know, most of the epistles in the New Testament start with about peace, the grace and the mercy and the peace of God. So I want to lay that down first, that the government of the enemy, if you like, always brings fear. And fear is not of God. It brings torment. The life that they had lived up to then was under God, and it was full of love, and there was no fear in their lives at all. None at all. So if you've got fear, and we're all tempted to fear at one time or the other, things come on in our lives which are quite sudden sometimes and upset the apple cart of our lives. And it can bring fear. Well, don't fear. Jesus is near. Amen? Jesus is near. So that was the beginning of another power, another government, which came into on earth into mankind. And it was a darkness came upon all creation then. And then to deal with this, a little later on, via Abraham, we come to a place where God instructs a tabernacle to be built. I don't know how big it was compared with this. I don't think it was very big. Anybody got any idea? Do you think it was as big as this? There's no volunteers. Maybe a bit bigger, I don't know. But, you know, at the very end of this tabernacle was a place where the holiest of holies was. And no one was allowed to enter into that place. And there was a big veil in front of that place. And it was all woven beautifully with blue and purple and scarlet, and had cherubim woven into this great veil. And what it was really saying, behind this veil is heaven. Because that's where God is. But they weren't allowed into it. And the way was blocked, except for once a year. We know how the high priest came in with the blood and they were forgiven. But generally speaking, that way was blocked. I think someone read, I think it was you, Dave, access into the through the veil. And that way was blocked. Heaven was in there, the cherubim, the blue, the purple kingship, the blue heaven, and the scarlet, talking about blood. But nevertheless, in there was the glory of God, and that was not allowed to come out. So, then we come, centuries later, to when Jesus came. And this is what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Just try and connect it to the passage that Alan read out in Colossians. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So you see, now the great, as it were, the progression through the centuries, that once the fall came, there was another government, and that was in darkness. And even at the time of the tabernacle, there wasn't any real light. But then the Son of God comes, the Word of God, and he is the light. And the people that sat in great darkness saw a great light. It was the first time that the light of God had ever really come on earth since the fall. So it was a tremendous, tremendous revelation and occasion which was happening. For the first time, mankind could see God. That's a tremendous thing, isn't it? Because it was dark, you see. Nobody could see God because it was dark. And he, the light, comes in, and they saw God for the first time in human flesh. Remarkable. Said the darkness didn't overcome the light. Not like it did in the beginning. He's referring now, he's bringing everybody's minds back to the very beginning where the fall started, where the darkness overcame everything. But here he's saying, now the darkness didn't overcome this light. And a new ruler had come on earth. A new government was about to begin. The prince of this world, the ruler of darkness, was going to be cast out. And a new government was about to be established on the earth. We have governments, the world has a government, different kinds of governments, and they all make promises, don't they, what they're going to do. But when they're actually come into government, it's a different kettle of fish. And it's hard to keep your promises because circumstances change and so on and so forth. Though intentions might be good, never happens that way. So, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, was coming on earth. a new government. And that was going to come in stages. when the Son of God came, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Word came as light for men who were in darkness, and the first stage was the fact was that he brought a new authority on the earth that nobody was able ever to bring beforehand, a new government. And this government wasn't like any other government or ruler that had ever come here before. It wasn't one of fear. It was one of utter love. And it came with an authority to heal people. He was bringing in a kingdom which he was used to. That's why he taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven. No, on earth, he says. And it's a wonderful, simple prayer that, when you think about it, it's a prayer for children. That's why he says, Our Father. It's a prayer for children. It's utterly simple. Please give us our daily bread. Keep us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. And you have the glory. And it's a wonderfully simple. Jesus comes down to us in not great theological way, but in the kind of a way that a child could grasp. And we teach our children, or we hope we should teach our children to pray. And it's this child, this wonderful, simple prayer that he said, after this manner, pray. I don't think he meant to repeat it over and over again as easy as that. I tell you, I did something a few days ago that I'd never, ever done in my life before. You're all waiting to hear this. We were in Tewkesbury, and we went for a cup of tea in Tewkesbury Abbey Cafe, which had just opened. But you had to get your tea and drink it outside, and it was pouring with rain, and it was freezing cold. And then we looked at the notice board and said, there's a service going on in Tewkesbury Abbey. And we went in, and to get out the cold, really, to tell you the truth. And we sat there with about 11 other people in this big abbey, and it was all high class stuff, you know, the banners and everything like that. And everything was great, except there was no life. The words, and they read out, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I never thought I would go into a high church meeting, but I did. No one spoke to me afterwards, by the way. There was no friendship. And it's a shame, really, because they had the words, but not the love, and so on. So anyway, that's by the by, and I don't know even why I said it. Well, yeah, this comes in stages, you see. This kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ began to bring in the first stage of the kingdom of heaven. You know, he went about talking about the kingdom of heaven, didn't he? Or the kingdom of God. Some folk might get a bit confused. What is the kingdom of God and what is the kingdom of heaven? Really, if you were a Jew, you were not allowed to say the kingdom of God, so they replaced it by heaven. That's all. But really, more or less, about the same thing. And he brought about healing, saying, this is what the kingdom's going to be like. This is what a new government is going to be like under a new ruler. He brought about deliverance of people who were oppressed by the enemy. He did all sorts of good things to people. He brought peace to people's hearts and minds. He even raised the dead to show that this new ruler, this new government in Lazarus, every child that came in was going to be a child of resurrection. You know, that's what he does when he comes into our lives. You become a resurrected person. We're alive from the dead. And he showed that by illustrating it through Lazarus and others as well. There's an interesting verse which I had often thought about this and couldn't quite understand it. It comes a little in chapter 3 of John. He's talking about new birth. This government is going to, this ruler is going to bring in a new creation. In other words, a new birth. When a person is born of God, he becomes a new creation. And he says this, talking about if anybody looks, the illustration was looking at Moses' banner with the serpent on it. If he looked at that, they would be healed and restored. And he likened it to him. It was a likeness, of course, to him being lifted up on the cross. If anybody looks to him, they will be healed there of what has, sin has damaged their life and brought death and destruction and fear and panic and torment and all the rest of it. And it was to look to Jesus Christ on Calvary. And then he goes on to say this. He said, you've got to be born from above. A new creation has got to come into you, Nicodemus. But not only you, everyone, the word's plural. And he says, you've got to come from heaven, this thing. And then he says, if I can, in verse 13, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, listen, who is in heaven. And yet you say, well, he's on earth. But Jesus Christ says, no, he's in heaven. And that is a remarkable thing, because we think heaven is so many billion light years away, but no, it's not. Heaven was in Christ Jesus, and he never ever left heaven. So he's not really talking about a place so much as a rule, a government, a time, a place where God is absolute in enthroned. We live in a world of time which God created, but it doesn't mean to say that we are a million trillion light years away from God. The heavens couldn't contain him. And when Jesus came down to earth, he came down to show what heaven was like. What the rule was in heaven. Where people were going to be helped. Where the poor were going to be taken care of. Where justice was going to be administered. And that's what light does in the darkness. And everybody was around them was astonished. Light had come into the world, a government of light. And they couldn't really comprehend this at all, but that's what Jesus did. Well, the people, they walked in great darkness, but they saw this great light. This is the light of God, the light of heaven. This new government, this new rulership that would come on earth. And it was about to begin by a new birth. A new birth. That's how you come into God's government. That's how you come into his rulership. Through Calvary. And the second stage is, this is a great illustration, and then the second stage was when he went to Calvary. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. You remember the time when Jesus Christ was crucified? In the last 3 hours, it says, there was darkness over all the earth. Darkness over all the earth. And then it says, then the light of the sun was put out. And he's talking about two things that happened here. There was a darkness that came on all the earth. And he went right back to the creation of the world, where he says, in the beginning, God, and he said, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light. He was introducing a new creation at this time. So when that darkness was upon the whole face of the earth, that's the reality of what was happening. People in this great darkness, and Jesus Christ, by taking our sin in his own body, entered into the darkness that we naturally are born into. And 3 hours he stayed in darkness. And in that time he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was going right back to the very beginning of this great fall in Eden. And he was taking upon himself the darkness of the world caused by sin, caused by the enemy. He said earlier, he says, when I be lifted up, the prince of this world will be cast out, and all men shall be gathered unto me. So that was his real second stage. And at the same time, another remarkable thing happened. The veil in the temple was torn in two. And as we heard earlier, that meant access into the holiest place where the presence of God was. But not only that, one of the wonderful things is when the tabernacle veil was rent out, if it was the true tabernacle, we know it wasn't because there was no ark in it, but what would have happened? The glory of God, it wasn't just to let us in, but the light to come out. The glory of God, when the veil was rent, the light was to come right out. And that was his flesh. His flesh was torn in two. And light came out. And the darkness did not overcome it. Praise God. Praise God. What's the time? Goodness me. I'll have to finish. Heaven was opened. I wish there was a clock in here. Anyway. Do you mind if I just... the great transfer had happened. You see, what we read, Alan read out, he said, we are conveyed from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Hallelujah. We're in a new government now, and it's ruled by the Son of His love. Hallelujah. So, I'll have to wrap up. The third stage was His return. That is going to be the great culmination. All things are to be reconciled in earth and in heaven. Then, and He's coming to make everything right. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he said, heaven must receive until He comes to mend it again. So the Lord's coming, and He's going to put it all right. His government is going to come. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. We see this earth in utter chaos, but this third stage is going to come. And in the meantime, you and I are the light of the world. We've got a kingdom in us. We've got the God, the King in us to bring light into this world. That is what we are about, to bring the gospel to men and women by good works and word of God. Amen.